Going to talk about love today. You know, love is in the air today. We heard about it in the welcome and the communion. I'm enjoying my Valentine's Day so far. Aaron is going on a sleepover tonight, and I really want to commend Ulla and Hannah. I mean, they're having Aaron, not just Aaron, but several other of the children over. And I just thought to myself, you know, what a sacrifice. What love. But I'm not going to talk about romantic love. I'm going to talk about practical love. The kind of love that Christians should have for others. Not that we can't be romantic, of course. The kind of love that Jesus had for others. I believe this love is summed up perfectly by Jesus in verse 12 of Matthew 7. In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. Or to put it another way, treat others the way you want to be treated. Jesus says this sums up the law and the prophets. It boils down the teachings of the Bible to one sentence, the golden rule. This is how God wants us to live. Imagine for a moment a golden rule world where everybody lived this way. No wars. No crime. No jails. No hunger. No poverty. No divorces or broken hearts. No child abuse. Living the golden rule is the answer to our relationship problems. But the challenge for me is to live it out in my life. How do I really treat others? How do I treat my colleagues at work? How do I treat strangers I meet? How do I treat my family? My brothers and sisters in the church? My own wife? My son? I often fall short. I don't always live the way I want to live. Sometimes I feel like I've got the wooden spoon rather than the golden rule. Do you ever feel like that? What about when your colleague comes and dumps work on you that they should have done? Or if you talk to somebody on the tube, they're rude to you. Or you're on time, but everybody else is late. Your friend said they would do this thing for you. They promised. But then they didn't. Now, sure, we can't relate to this one, those of us who are married. But you're tired, you come home from work, and your wife or your husband needs to talk. Or you're busy, and you get a knock on the door. Busy, maybe doing your sermon, or whatever it is, on love, and your son needs help with their homework, and he can't wait. How can we live the golden rule in the real world, when others don't treat us the way we want to be treated? When we are tired, when we lack the energy, How can we live out the golden rule? Well, the golden rule doesn't stand on its own. I think the bit that comes before it may be able to help us. So I'm going to look first at what not to do, then at what to do, and then at actually doing it. Okay, I've got two short points, you'll be glad to know, and an even shorter third point. So don't fall asleep or you'll miss that one. Let's have a look in Matthew 7. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Wow. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. He doesn't hold back. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Wow. I mean, Jesus really kind of lays it on out. You know, I don't think it's wrong to notice that other people have faults. I don't think it's wrong to see the bad in others. Their weaknesses, their imperfections, their sins. And it's not wrong to deal with other people on the basis of what we see in them. I don't think that's what Jesus is saying here. I mean, if somebody is a pig, you know, if they smell and they make grunting noises and they live in a pigsty, don't throw your pearls to them. If someone's going to react violently to the gospel, well, if you go there and preach to them, what are you going to get? You've got to use some common sense. I've made that mistake before. So what does Jesus mean when he says, do not judge? I think he means we can see the bad, but we don't have to hate. We don't have to get angry or be impatient. We can make judgments on how to deal with that person, but in love, without criticizing them or condemning them in our hearts. You know, it is so easy to stand back and just criticize. You don't have to do much. Sometimes it's easy to see what's wrong. We all do it. You're watching your favorite team in that important match, and they're losing again. Come on, man. Just pass the ball. Oh, why didn't you shoot? You can't score from that angle. You shouldn't have shot. You should have crossed it in. There was a man in the middle. You could have scored. Are you blind? What are you doing, referee? Of course, if it had been you on the pitch, you'd have done it perfectly. I mean, your team would be winning 10-0. And it's all because your talent just hasn't been recognized yet. Now that's funny, but there's times when we do this. When we're at work, or on the tube, or at home, or in church. Your home can become a battleground. A fault is found. A criticism is expressed. An argument follows. I mean, it's just like DEFCON 5 and red alert, and suddenly the missiles are launched. Not that we have arguments all the time in my house, so I'd have you know. But you know what it's like. Something lights the touch paper, one person sparks off, and then it all comes back and it... Or maybe it's not like that. Maybe it's just taking a pot shot at one another every so often. Judgment and counter-judgment. Someone once said, the formula for a happy marriage is the same as the one for living in California. When you find a fault, don't dwell on it. Another quote. Children need models rather than critics. Children need models rather than critics. I mean, I find that so convicting. It's so easy to find fault in my son. Criticize him when he does something wrong. And it's so easy not to build him up when he's doing well and encourage him. And it's even harder to set him the kind of example he needs in a father to follow. You know, I have high expectations of those who are in leadership or management above me. But if I feel let down at work or at church, you know, I can become critical and sarcastic. It never helps. It doesn't help me and it doesn't help them. If you really think about it, if you're criticizing, you can't live out the golden rule. You can see the fault, the speck in their eye, but the plank of your own negativity and criticizing blinds you. You can't see your own faults and weaknesses. And you certainly can't see to help others. Isn't it so much easier when somebody comes and shows you your fault, but they're humble about their own faults and weaknesses? They come, and what they're saying is right, but they own up to their own faults, they're humble about it, and they approach it in the right way. Isn't that how we all want to be treated? But if somebody is negative and critical, it's so much harder to take. Even though they're right, it's so much harder to take. If you want to live out the golden rule, the first thing to do is stop criticizing. Do you find it easy to find fault in others? Are you quick to criticize? How do you react when others let you down? Are you quick to get angry or impatient? According to some rabbis in Jesus' time, God has two measures that he uses to judge people. One is the measure of justice. You get what you deserve. The other is the measure of mercy. Isn't God merciful with us? Forgiving our sins? Which measure do we want God to use with us? That's the measure we should use with others. If you are humbled about your own faults, if you see your need for forgiveness and for mercy, then you'll show mercy. You will treat others the way you want to be treated. But if you're thinking negatively, and you see the faults all the time, and you're always criticizing, you don't stand a chance of actually doing the right thing. If you want to live out the golden rule, stop criticizing. Now, that's easier said than done, isn't it? If you're anything like me, you wouldn't find it at all easy to notice things and then go on to criticize. And it's not easy to deal with our own faults and to be humbled about our own shortcomings. It's not easy to show mercy when we want to show judgment. I think that's why in verse 7 we move on to prayer. Let's have a look in verse 7. Are you with me?
Yes.
You're not bored, are you?
No.
I hope the silence is maybe not over conviction, but a little bit of conviction, and not that you're fed up. Maybe you're criticizing me now. I'm getting paranoid. I just wish this guy would shut up. In verse 7, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. An invitation from God. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Promise from God. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you'd have them do for you. For this sums up the law and prophets. God is a giver. James 1:17 tells us that every good thing given and every perfect gift is from him. But it's not just good things that God gives us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. John 3:16. He gave his precious Son for us. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He gave him because of our sin, out of his goodness and love. For a rebellious and sinful world, he gave over his son to death. How giving is that? Luke 11:13 says he gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. When we repent and are baptized, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This isn't just giving good gifts. This is personal. What more could God give? He's given of himself to the undeserving. We are his children. He's adopted us. He's given us the right to call him Father. Abba. Wow. What a blessing. What a giving, incredible, loving, gracious God we have. They're personal gifts. And they're eternal. God has given us so much, but he wants to keep on giving to us. In Philippians 4, verse 19, Paul says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Not just bread and fish, but all our needs. Now, not a Rolls Royce, all right, because he gives good gifts according to the needs. So if you're wanting a 10-bed mansion, you know, that might be quite be the best thing for you. But the promise is he'll give for all our needs. Romans 8:32 says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" God wants to give. God loves to bless. He wants to answer his children's prayer. What are we asking? Are we seeking? Are we knocking on his door? Are we passionate and persistent in our prayers? Sometimes I get what I ask for because I pray wimpy prayers. It's, "Father God, help me to have a good day today. Help me to love other people. Help me at work. Help me stay awake." We've all prayed like that. Why should our prayer life be like that? Can we ask for big things? What Jesus is saying is not just to ask once. Keep asking. If you keep asking, God wants to keep giving. You can't live out the golden rule if you're not praying passionately and persistently. See, when we keep asking and God keeps giving, we see our prayers answered in our lives and in the lives of those around us. We experience his goodness and his grace. Not an intellectual understanding. Not something that happened in the past. But a continuing presence in our lives. We can drink deeply of his love and grace and be refreshed. But are we asking? If we feel loved by God, won't we feel more like loving others? Our faith will be expressing itself through love. The more fully we experience God's love, the more freely we'll share God's love. If we keep asking, when we're struggling to love, we know we should do it, but we're struggling. If we cry out, can God not help us to have the strength to treat others the way we want to be treated? We'll have the power to live out the golden rule. And if we're praying for others, and if we're asking him to help others, and to heal our relationships with them, can he not move powerfully? you want to live out the golden rule, the second thing to do is keep asking. That's why I think verse 12 starts with the small word, so. Therefore, we keep asking. God keeps giving. We're living under His grace. We're experiencing His love in our lives. So, therefore, we share this love with others. When we know we're loved, we can deal better with our sinful nature. We can stop judging others. We can stop criticizing. But we must have a vibrant relationship with God. If you want to live out the golden rule, keep asking. Let's read verse 12. So in everything, do to others what you'd have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Somebody once said, the golden rule is of no use to you, whatever, unless you realize that it's your move. Jesus puts the ball in our court. It's not something that we can opt out of in some of our relationships. Oh, I'll love them. They're good to me, but him over there, whoa. He wants us to put it into practice. Think about a relationship that's not going well at the moment. Who springs to mind? What relationship in your life needs healing? Who is it? There must be someone. Or am I the only one who has relationship problems? If you were them, what would you want you to do to them? If you can follow what I mean. Put yourself in their shoes. And they're looking at you. What would they want from you? Or what would they want you to say to them? That's love right there. But only if you act on it. If you want to live out the golden rule, the third thing to do is start loving. The golden rule is a command. Like any other command of Jesus, it's there for us to obey. We can walk around and not criticize anyone. Not have a bad word to say about anybody. And we can be full of the wonder of God's love for us. But if we don't actually do anything, what good would it be? My relationship with my own sister. She's 9 years older than me. There's a bit of a gap there. But we don't talk enough. And we do talk, but not enough and not really so that we're sharing our lives. And you know what was stopping me? I had a criticism. What did I need to stop? Well, the criticism on my side was, she never calls me. I always have to call her. Why does she never call me? And that critical attitude in my heart was stopping me. Now, I've resolved to stop criticizing. And I've been praying about it. I keep asking. But what do I need to do? Isn't that obvious? I mean, duh. I mean, it's so stupid when I think about it. What would I want her to do to me? Well, if I want her to call me, and I've got to do that to her, haven't I? See, unless I pick up the phone regularly, unless I'm putting the golden rule into practice, our relationship's not going to change. If you want to live out the golden rule, start loving. Think about your relationships. Who have you been criticizing in your heart? At home? At work? At church? Who do you need to treat the way you want to be treated? Think of some names. Who comes to your mind? Maybe make a note. Maybe if you've been really critical, you might need to make a list. I don't know. Stop criticizing. Decide not to find faults with them. Measure them with the measure you want applied to you. Keep asking. Why not pray every day this week with passion and experience God's love in your life? Pray for them. Pray for the power to love them as you should. Start loving. Don't chicken out. If you've resolved to do something, do it. Maybe ask somebody to hold you accountable. But make a change. Heal that relationship. If you stop criticizing, keep asking, and start loving, you can live out the golden rule. We don't live in a golden rule world. But imagine for a moment if each of us decided to stop criticizing, if each of us resolved to keep asking, and if each one of us was to start loving, together, would we not become a golden rule church? Lives would change. Relationships would be healed. Lost souls would be saved. God would be glorified. Why shouldn't we be a golden rule church shining out in the dark for North London? Thank you for your time.